Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
Today on the program, you will hear stories from Brian Lynn, Dan Friedel, and Anne Ball. Later, Kelly Jean Kelly will bring us America's Presidents. But first, here is Brian Lynn.
British company Dyson is known for inventing new vacuum cleaner technology and producing other devices for the home. Now the company has entered new territory by announcing plans to launch an electric vehicle by 2020. In a recent announcement to employees, company founder James Dyson said about 400 engineers are working with other teams on the project. The company, based in Malmesbury, England, is known for creating innovative product designs started by Dyson himself. Dyson is seen by many as having revolutionized the industry by engineering products that are powerful and easy to use. For example, the company makes fans and heating devices that do not use blades like most other products on the market. Dyson has been working on vehicle technology since 1990, when its engineers invented a way to trap diesel engine pollutants. In recent years, the company has increased its research and development efforts for electric vehicles. According to Dyson, the company will invest at least $2.6 billion in the project. He said he looks forward to offering the world a solution to the world's largest single environmental risk. In his message, Dyson said the company is now ready to use all of its technologies to produce an electric car. He said he has always believed that electrically powered vehicles would help solve the world's pollution problems. He added that this is why the company has developed battery technologies for many years. The vehicles will not run on the same kind of lithium-ion batteries currently used in electric cars. Instead, Dyson said the company chose solid-state technology in an effort to make the batteries smaller and easier to charge. The company has not yet released specific details about the design of the vehicle. Competition for new technology in the automotive industry is fierce, and we must do everything we can to keep the specifics of our vehicle confidential, Dyson wrote in his company message. However, he did tell Britain's The Guardian newspaper the vehicle would not be a sports car. He said the design was all about the technology and warned it would be an expensive vehicle to own. I'm Brian Lynn.
In Bangladesh, the children of Rohingya refugees are making pictures. that activity may seem perfectly normal, except the pictures they are making show the horrors the children experienced recently as they fled Myanmar. Anthony Lake is the executive director of UNICEF, the United Nations Children's Fund. He spoke with reporters earlier this month in the Bangladeshi town of Cox's Bazar. He said that experts believe one way for children to deal with the bad things they remember is to have them draw pictures. The Rohingya refugees have made pictures of homes being set on fire, of helicopters shooting from the sky, and families running away from gunfire and men armed with knives. Lake noted that at some refugee camps, children make happy pictures. But the pictures from the Rohingya boys and girls reflect the terrible things they saw. "The pictures we have seen here are horrifying," the UNICEF chief said. "They reflect children seeing things that no child should ever see, much less endure." Lake said he spoke with one boy who said he saw other children killed while they were playing football. "Imagine, if you were a child and you saw that, how long would it take you to recover from that, if you ever could?" he asked. Myanmar's army and the civilian government have repeatedly denied claims that the armed forces are harming civilians. They say they will investigate reports of atrocities if evidence is presented to them. Late last month, State Councillor Aung San Suu Kyi announced that military operations were suspended after September 5th. But people continue crossing the border into Bangladesh. Many new arrivals are likely searching for food. UNICEF says more than half of the refugees are children, and half of them are under 5 years old. One UNICEF official gave a VOA reporter drawings she said were made by children in the Balukali camp who went to the group's child-friendly centers. The children who made them are from 6 to 14 years old, and all were produced over the past few weeks. Myanmar's Rakhine state is close to Bangladesh. The area has been largely closed off to aid groups and foreign observers since August 25th. Last month, Myanmar's government flew reporters to Rakhine to see where a large number of Hindu residents were buried. The government claims the Hindus were victims of the rebel Arakan Rohingya Salvation Army. The group denied the claim. Last Monday, the Myanmar government gave permission for a group of diplomats and UN officials to visit Rakhine State's Mongdaw Township. In a tweet, one diplomat said the area looked like a ghost town. I'm Dan Friedel.
Her position is not official, but Areli Carreon of Mexico City is a mayor. She may be the bicycle mayor, but to her, it is an important position. She works to make people in one of the world's most congested cities more interested in riding bicycles. Carreon works with a group based in Amsterdam called Cycle Space. The group says it wants 50% of all trips made in cities to be made by bike by the year 2030. There are mayors like Carayón in 7 cities around the world, including Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, Sydney, Australia, and Baroda, India. More cities are expected to inaugurate such mayors soon. Amsterdam's mayor is Anna Luton. She said the organization's goal will make cities livable again by integrating bikes. And more bikes will make it easier for the remaining cars to get around. However, Carayón says the cycling program will do more than just make daily trips to work or the market easier. When a disaster strikes, like the recent earthquake that shook Mexico City, cyclists may be among the first to get out and look for survivors. Carayón and 1,000 other cyclists helped identify buildings where people might be trapped. They were able to travel on streets littered with rubble more easily than large vehicles. The cyclists also were able to bring tools and supplies to rescue teams. Carayón said bicycles served as an emergency breathing system for the city, and she noted that no matter how bad the roads were, bicycles were the fastest way to move around. There are already a lot of cyclists in downtown Mexico City. 250,000 are members of a bike-sharing program that offers 6,000 bicycles at 450 parking stands. But riding in the city can be dangerous. Around the city, the white-painted outlines of bicycles can be found on the streets. These markers show where cyclists have been killed in traffic accidents. As the bicycle mayor, Carayón wants Mexico City to reduce the number of cycling deaths each year and increase the availability of bike lanes to 340 kilometers.
Bees are responsible for about 30% of the world's food supply. Our fruits and vegetables would not grow without bees. Many farmers use chemical products known as pesticides to protect food plants from insects. Studies have shown that these chemicals are also hurting the bees. Now, it turns out that the pesticides are also showing up in the world's honey supply. And researchers are wondering how that could affect us. The problem is an unusual kind of pesticides called neonicotinoids. A recent study found evidence of these pesticides in most of the world's bees. The findings were published in the journal Science. David Goulson is a professor of biology at Britain's University of Sussex. He says the chemicals harm the ability of bees to find their way. Goulson says the problem seems to come from newly genetically engineered seeds. He says some of the seeds are covered with pesticides. Swedish researchers found the chemicals in 75% of all the world's honey. They even found it on the French island of Tahiti, a place not known for industrial farming. Goulson says it is not just bees that are dying off. He says researchers are also seeing big declines of farmland birds, butterflies, and so on. The European Food Standards Agency and the European Union are considering limiting the use of neonicotinoids. I'm Anne Ball.
VOA Learning English presents America's Presidents. Today we are talking about Harry S. Truman. He became President of the United States in 1945, a few weeks before the end of World War II in Europe. Truman took office after Franklin Roosevelt died suddenly of a cerebral hemorrhage. Roosevelt had been president for 12 years, but Truman was new to the position of vice president. Two other men had earlier served in the office under Roosevelt. On April 12, 1945, less than 3 months after he became vice president, Truman was called to the White House. There, Roosevelt's wife, Eleanor, told Truman about her husband's death. Truman was quickly sworn in as president. Shortly after the ceremony, the Secretary of War privately told Truman about a secret project involving American scientists. They were building an extremely destructive atomic bomb. Historians debate whether Truman already knew about the project or whether the information was a complete surprise. In either case, the new president had to decide whether to use the weapon, which he called the most terrible bomb in the history of the world. Harry Truman came from simple beginnings. He was born in the state of Missouri. He, his parents, a brother and a sister, lived in the town of Independence. As a boy, Harry Truman helped his father on the family's farm, but he did not enjoy the work, and he could not play sports because he could not see very well. From the time he was a child, Truman wore eyeglasses. So he developed his interests in reading and music. He was an especially good piano player. Truman was also a good student, but his parents did not have enough money to send him to a four-year college. Instead, Truman worked in a number of jobs, including as a bank clerk, mining company operator, and partner in an oil business. When the United States became involved in World War I, Truman decided to rejoin the National Guard. His guard unit became part of the U.S. Army, and Truman earned a position as a captain. Truman experienced real success in the military. He was an able soldier and leader, and he and his troops fought in battle. When the war ended, Truman kept both the feeling of self-confidence and the friendships with the other soldiers he had formed. One of Truman's first acts after the war was to get married. He married a woman from his hometown. They had been romantically linked for a long time. Her name was Elizabeth Wallace, but she was called Bess. The Trumans remained happily married for more than 50 years and had a daughter named Mary Margaret. In the first years after the war, Harry Truman opened a men's clothing shop with a friend from the military. But the shop, called a haberdashery, eventually failed. Truman soon found a new line of work. An operative from the Democratic Party asked Truman to be a candidate for a position as a judge. Truman won the seat, as well as a public reputation for being an honest, effective public servant. In time, Truman successfully won election to a seat in the U.S. Senate. For the most part, he earned a good public image there, too. He supported the social programs of President Roosevelt, and he tried to prevent big businesses or large labor unions from misusing public money. Both voters and Democratic officials liked Truman enough to accept him as the party's vice presidential candidate in 1944. Truman performed well as a candidate, but he did not have a close relationship with Roosevelt or play much of a part in his government. Yet in a few weeks following Roosevelt's death, Truman was leading the country. Truman faced a number of difficult decisions during his two terms as president. Many of them involved foreign policy. His actions helped shape the second half of the 20th century. In his first months after taking office, Truman watched the end of World War II in Europe. He then had to decide how to deal with the war in the Pacific. Japan did not want to accept the Allied forces' demand for total surrender, and Truman did not want to extend the war. So he approved using the atomic bomb on Japan. Truman directed the Secretary of War to drop the weapon on military targets and try to reduce civilian deaths. But the destruction was still terrible. An estimated 192,000 people died in the attack or the effects of the bomb in Hiroshima. Most of the city was destroyed. 3 days later, the U.S. military dropped another atomic bomb, this time on the city of Nagasaki. More than 70,000 people died instantly. The Emperor of Japan called the weapon a new and most cruel bomb. He agreed to his country's surrender on August 14, 1945. World War II came to an end. Truman and his government quickly had to make other decisions about how to react to the new international situation. One of the most pressing concerns was the Soviet Union. Soviet officials sought to expand their influence around the country's borders, especially in Eastern Europe, Turkey, and Iran. Truman and other U.S. officials believed those moves threatened American interests. The United States supported democracy and capitalism. It did not want the Soviet Union's form of communism to spread. So Truman's government put in place two measures to answer the Soviet Union's influence. One was a policy known as the Truman Doctrine. It promised American support to Greece, Turkey, and other democratic nations against authoritarian forces. The measure was a new step for the United States. In the past, the country had tried to avoid conflicts that did not directly involve it. Under Truman, the U.S. government was committed to helping free peoples anywhere by improving their living conditions. A second measure came to be called the Marshall Plan, after Truman's Secretary of State, George Marshall. Marshall wanted the United States to invest a large amount of money in rebuilding Europe after World War II. Because the Soviet Union controlled much of Eastern Europe, the money eventually went to improving the market economy of Western Europe. The Office of the Historian at the State Department notes that one effect of the Marshall Plan was to introduce foreign aid programs as an official part of U.S. foreign policy. Truman also sought to guarantee peace and contain communism in other ways. He supported the United Nations, which was officially launched during his presidency, and he negotiated a military alliance among Western democratic nations. The group became known as the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, or NATO. Military alliances became especially important in 1950, when communist forces in North Korea invaded South Korea. The UN agreed to send troops to help South Korea, although many of the troops were American, and they were led by an American general. Fighting in the Korean War lasted until 1953. As many as 5 million people died in the conflict. Neither side gained much territory. But the Korean War had other effects. It fueled the Cold War between communist and democratic forces. It showed the U.S. would really defend other countries against authoritarian forces. It sharply increased American spending on the defense industry, and it helped make President Truman very unpopular. Many Americans believed Truman was losing the battle against communism. During his presidency, the Soviet Union successfully tested a nuclear weapon, and China officially became a communist country under Mao Zedong. Some U.S. lawmakers even accused Truman's government of protecting communist spies. Senator Joseph McCarthy was the most famous of these critics. He launched investigations against thousands of U.S. government employees, as well as movie actors and directors in Hollywood. McCarthy did not have evidence that these people were secretly working for the Soviet Union, but his campaign helped fuel the public's concern over communism, a fear that came to be called the Red Scare. Truman grew tired of the accusations, as well as other political battles. He decided not to seek re-election in 1952. Instead, he retired with his wife to their home in Missouri. At first, many Americans had mixed emotions about Truman's presidency. For the most part, they did not support the Korean War, and they remained suspicious that his government had included communist supporters. But Truman's public reputation rose over time. He became known as a down-to-earth person who would and could fight if needed. His supporters liked to say, "Give 'em hell, Harry." Truman is also remembered for taking some steps toward ensuring equal rights for all Americans. Truman supported the racial desegregation of the military and banned racial discrimination in the civil service. But Truman is probably best remembered for the difficult decisions he made during his presidency, especially the one to drop atomic bombs on Japan. To the end of his life, he accepted responsibility for the decision and did not apologize for it. Truman died of natural causes at the age of 88. His remains are buried at his presidential library in Independence, Missouri. I'm Kelly Jean Kelly.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.